Have you ever been like me and taken a word from God and made a paragraph out of it? I mean, finding out what God wants you to do, but not waiting on God's instructions about how to do it. That's what we're talking about today, and I think this will really help you, so stay tuned.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about how you can find God's will for your life, then find God's plan for accomplishing that will. And another thing that we'll be talking about later in the week is about how you can find the timing for bringing all of this to pass. And this may not sound like it's very important, but I tell you, these are things that God has really worked in my life. And I am convinced now that knowing God's will for your life is important, but there are lots of people that know what God's will for their life is, and yet they are totally helpless to bring that will to pass because they don't understand that there is a God plan for bringing that will to pass, and then there will always be a self plan. And you've got to learn how to go about things God's way. You might be able to accomplish some good, but you will never be fulfilled personally and have the joy and the peace, and you will never be the blessing to other people that you have the potential of being until you find God's plan for bringing that will to pass. And so what we started doing, we started talking on our broadcast yesterday about Moses and how that Moses, when he killed this Egyptian, in Exodus chapter 2, that he was actually trying to bring deliverance to the Jews. Now, some people may differ with that because you've watched the Cecil B. DeMille's version of the Ten Commandments, and I love that movie, but there's some things inaccurate in there, and one of them is that they say that Moses just went out because he was a nice guy and killed this Egyptian who was oppressing an Israelite, and that he didn't know who he was, he didn't realize he was a Jew, etc. That's not what the Word of God teaches. In Acts chapter 7 and in verses 23 through 25, we see there that Moses went out knowing that he was a Jew, and he went out to visit his brethren. And then in verse 25, Acts 7, 25, it says he supposed how his brethren would have understood that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So that reveals that Moses knew God's will for his life, but he was totally ignorant of God's plan for accomplishing that will. As we go on in the book of Exodus, you'll find out that the way that God willed to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt wasn't through Moses physically overpowering everybody and killing people and doing things that way. Now, it would have been easy for Moses to suspect that, because you've got to remember that Moses was a Jew, he was an Israelite, and he was born during a period of time when all the Israelite children, male children, were supposed to be killed. The Egyptians were afraid that the Israelites were growing and multiplying at such a rate that they actually would take over the country or assist an enemy in overthrowing the Egyptians. And so the Pharaoh issued an order that all male Israelite children should be killed. And that's when Moses was born. And according to the law, he should have died. But of course, the story is that God spared him. And, you know, his parents put him into this little basket and put it into the river Nile, and it floated, and it just happened to float unto Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter took Moses and nourished him as her own son, and he was raised up in the Egyptian court. Now, how miraculous is that? A child that Pharaoh was trying to kill actually wound up being raised by the Pharaoh at his expense by his daughter. The very Pharaoh who was trying to kill him, he was raised at his charge and raised in the court. And this isn't in the Bible, but in secular history, I have read some reports that Moses became a mighty warrior in Egypt, that he actually led the Egyptian troops and they triumphed over all the Libyans, which were just south of Egypt, and they had a tremendous victory. And this was also depicted in that show, The Ten Commandments. You see where all of these Africans come and they begin to start pouring down all of these spices and all of these golds and stuff. Well, they depicted that, and that is in secular history. You can read about Moses, how he did that. So my point in saying all of this is that it would have been easy for Moses to think that certainly God is going to use my position that I have in the Egyptian government, the fact that he was a military leader, like a general in the nation of Egypt. And certainly God, that's the reason that God saved his life, that God put him in the house of Pharaoh, that he had all of this clout, all of this recognition, all of this backing behind him. It would have been logical to just suppose that God was going to use his physical position, his physical power, and all of these things to bring deliverance to the Jews. Now, again, when we read this sometimes in the Bible, you don't look at it as if it's a real live occurrence. But this was a real thing that happened. And if you were in Moses' situation, and if you had been destined for death and were miraculously saved and actually put in the household of your enemy and raised up to become one of the greatest, mightiest military mights in that nation, and if you knew that God's will was for you to bring deliverance to the Jews, you probably would have supposed too that God was just going to use your position. Why else did you have it? There's no reason that you should have been in this place. You should have been a slave, and instead of a slave, you're second or third in command of the entire nation. You're a mighty military giant. Most people would have just supposed, well, certainly God did all of this because that's how he's going to bring deliverance to the Jews. In other words, God revealed his will to Moses, but Moses went about to accomplish God's will according to his own reasoning, according to his own plans, his own devices. And brothers and sisters, I am telling you that this is what is destroying more people than anything else. It is not the fact that most people don't, I'm talking here to believers, people in the body of Christ, many of you have a sense, some kind of a leading, an urge about what God's purposes and plans for your life are. But I tell you where the vast majority of people miss it, and where Satan is destroying most people, is because you are totally going about trying to accomplish those plans according to your own wisdom, your own logic. You're letting circumstances dictate to you instead of finding out God's plan for doing that. This is where Moses missed it. Let me share a passage with you over here out of the New Testament in John chapter 2. And I believe that this has a direct relationship to what we're saying about Moses. Here in John chapter 2 is the very first time Jesus appeared in Jerusalem after he had been anointed by God and baptized by John in the River Jordan, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And so it says in John chapter 2 in verse 23, it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed on his name when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Man, that is a powerful passage of Scripture. So Jesus was the payment for our sins, but also he was there to proclaim God's message. He was trying to reach as many people as possible. And the first time he was in Jerusalem, he did miracles. People were so overwhelmed with it. It says that a multitude believed on him. Now let me ask you, what do you think would happen today if an evangelist went into a town and held a meeting and multitudes believed? What do you think would happen? Well, I can guarantee you that the vast majority of people with our mindset that we have today, they would have taken these people, they would have capitalized on that, they would have gone on radio and television, they would have had them pass out tracts, they would have used these people, they would have blitzed the city, and they would have tried to reach as many people as possible to make the biggest impact that's possible. They would have used those people. Here was a multitude that was believing on Jesus, and what did Jesus do with them? It says Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew what was in man and needed not that any should testify of man. Now, Jesus' desire was to lead as many people to the Father, reach as many people as possible. And here he had basically an army at his disposal. And what did he do? He dismissed them and sent them home. Now, he had a purpose, a plan over here. But you know what? He knew that these people were not quality enough yet. The Lord is more concerned with the quality of ministry than he is quantity of ministry. The Lord is always more concerned about character than he is about just getting something done. And these people, even though they believed on him, they hadn't matured. They weren't to a place where they would represent the Lord correctly. They would have presented a negative witness. And see, with our mentality where we are so statistic oriented, we would have said, who cares what they're like? Let's go out and reach as many people as possible. But the Lord was more concerned about the quality of the witness than he was about the quantity of people that were reached. Now, the reason I brought this up is to say that going back to Moses' story, some people see, would look at this and think, well, certainly, man, this is God's will. So who care how we get it done? And here's Moses with all of this recognition. He's already got all this honor, all of this prestige, all of this clout to his credit. And so let's just use it. And they would have supposed, and most people don't wait on God to hear God's plan of getting it done. And because of it, they go out and in a symbolic way, they kill somebody, mess up the entire plan of God, and cost themselves 40 years in the wilderness. You know, as we go on through this teaching, I'm going to bring into play here that not only did Moses not know God's plan, but he didn't know God's timing for accomplishing this. And because of it, he cost himself 40 years in the wilderness that was not God's will. Contrary to that show, the Ten Commandments, God didn't will for Moses to go through the wilderness and spend 40 years there being molded and the fire melting him and making him a godly man. That was not God's will to do it that way. It cost Moses 40 years in the wilderness unnecessarily, and it cost the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage. Some of you may be saying, where did you get that? You need to stay tuned because that's where we're headed. But the point I'm making is, see, Jesus, he had a will. He wanted to accomplish God's will. But to him, the way he accomplished it was more important than the end result. And I'm saying Moses had the exact opposite perspective. He was going to try and accomplish God's will, but he was going to do it in his own mind and in his own might. And he even justified murder. We're going to have to take a brief break here. Our announcer is going to advertise these materials, and then I'll be right back.
Andrew's teaching titled, God's Man, Plan, and Timing is available on a single CD, request item number TU5 when you contact us. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. This teaching is also available for download absolutely free on our website. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So we've been sharing about Moses and how that Moses knew what God's will for his life was. He knew that God had anointed him to bring the children of Israel out of the slavery that they were in Egypt. But he didn't know God's plan for accomplishing that. He just supposed that God was going to use his might, his power, and he used logic. And I tell you, very, very, very seldom will your logic correspond with God's logic. God's ways are not man's ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. And if you know what God's will for your life is, that's wonderful. But I'm telling you that that is just a first step. You have to also learn, God, how do you want me to accomplish this? And you need to do it God's way. If you do it that way, you will be more successful. You will bear more fruit. And also, it will save you the hurt and the pain along the way. There are so many examples in scriptures of people who stumbled into doing God's will, but they did it at great loss to themselves because of their own self-will and other things. Today, I believe that there are people probably watching this program or listening by radio that you are trying to accomplish God's will. You could be a minister. You could be a parent trying to raise up your children. You could be out working a job, and you know what God's gifts and callings on your life are. But if you're doing it in your way instead of God's way, you don't have the peace. You may be stressed out. You may be close to burnout, or you may have already crossed that path, and yet you're confused because you say, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. But are you following God's leadership? I can tell you, again, I'm more involved in ministry, and most of my close friends are in ministry, and so I see this a lot in ministry, but I see people all of the time who are called by God, and they are trying to fulfill God's call on their life, but they're doing it out of the flesh. They're doing it in their own wisdom. Instead of letting God build their ministry, build their church, instead of God promoting them, they are out there doing it, and they have all of the burden on themselves, and because of it, they are stressed out. I've heard statistics before. I don't know that these are true, but I've heard that 80% of all ministers are considering quitting the ministry. That, I mean, they're on the verge of quitting at all times. And see, if you are doing it God's way, if you are not only doing what God told you to do, but if you are waiting until you do it God's way, there is a peace, there is a joy, a contentment that goes along with it that keeps this stress and burnout from happening. I believe another way of saying burnout is, it's just burnout is nothing but a person doing, trying to do things, whether it's God's will or their own thing. They're doing things in their own strength and in their own power. When you are being led and anointed and controlled by God, there is a supernatural anointing that enables you to do that, and it gives you a peace and a joy with it. So Moses went about trying to do God's will, but he did it totally selfish. He went out and he actually justified killing a person, thinking that that was the way God was going to bring his will to pass. You know, this is extreme, but I've talked to people today who honestly, they think that they'd be doing God a service if they were to kill their mate. I mean, they just think that, man, it is such a bad situation. You can justify nearly anything if you get under the burden and under pressure and start trying to think and reason in your own power. But I tell you, it's not God's will for you to kill your mate. That is not his way to get you out of that marriage and into another one. It is not God's will for Moses to kill this Egyptian. And yet he did it and actually justified it. And the next day he went out and thought that his brethren, the Israelites, would be excited that he had killed this Egyptian. That here is somebody high in the government positions in Egypt, and that he is actually using his position and his power and his might in defense of the Israelites. He thought that they would rejoice at it. Instead of rejoicing, they were afraid of him. And they begin to start saying, are you going to kill us the way that you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses had to flee. Now, I'm going to explain some of these things in greater detail, but I don't believe that it was God's will for Moses to go through the wilderness. And I'll explain that later in the week. I don't believe that Moses ever had to leave Pharaoh's palace. He could have let God do the things in him that needed to be done in the lap of luxury. He did not have to crawl through the desert with the scorpions and the venomous beast and all these kind of things. That was not God's will for his life. And all of that happened. The reason he had to run from Egypt is because he got self-willed, but he put himself in that bind. And I know that there are many of you right now that you're in a crisis situation. You're in trouble. And it may add to your trouble and to your confusion because you're saying, God, I'm trying to do what you told me to do. And you think that just because you know God's will and you desire to fulfill it, that everything ought to work proper for you. Well, you know what? I believe that in most cases, this may not be true with everybody, but in most cases of people either watching or listening to this broadcast, if you're in a crisis situation and in a bind, you put yourself there. It's because of our own self-will. I tell you, I can testify to that myself. I can give you personal examples. I know that in 1985, the Lord told me that it was time for us to go for it. It was time for us to expand. But you know what? I didn't wait to get God's plan for that expansion. And I just like rolled the dice. And man, we just did things. I put myself so far in debt that you know what? From 1985 until 1992, 7 years, my ministry was basically on hold. And I did that to myself. I had a word from God, but I didn't have the plan for accomplishing it. And I put ourselves into a bind. And actually, our number of tapes that we put out, the number of radio stations and things like that, gradually declined over those years. My ministry actually shrunk. Now, our income went up. Our ministry was still going out to people, and there were some areas of growth and some good things. But basically, I put our ministry into a bind. And if I hadn't have just known how to cling on to the Lord and hold on, I believe I could have killed the ministry in the late 1980s. And it wasn't because I wasn't doing God's will. And there was confusion in my life and things like this. But you know what? It wasn't God that caused it. It was me. I took a word from God and I made a paragraph out of it. And I bet you there's a bunch of you that have done that same thing. That you have tried to accomplish God's will. And yet you didn't use God's wisdom to do it at all. I've seen this in the area of marriage. Somebody recognizes that this is the person I'm supposed to marry. And I'm not saying that it's not. But was it God's timing? Did you do it God's way? I see lots of people that just, you know, because they feel like this is the person, they just will immediately, they go out and get married the next day. They don't use any wisdom. They don't prepare. They don't think about the other people that are involved and on and on. And they put themselves under so much pressure. They get into financial binds, and there are people that are experiencing marital problems and having terrible things happen. And it's not because you aren't in the right marriage. It's not because God didn't lead you to marry this person. It's because you've used absolutely zero wisdom and you haven't been following God's guidelines. It's not enough to know what God's will for your life is. There is a right and a wrong way to get there. And you need to find out what God's plan for your life is. Moses just supposed it was going to be God using him because of his great stature and his might and his power, and he was absolutely wrong. God's plan for bringing deliverance to those Israelites in Egypt was through displaying miracles. I mean, locusts coming, the waters being turned to blood, the death angel coming, darkness over all the land. Matter of fact, in one place over in the book of Psalms, I'm not sure the exact verse, but it says that he sent his plagues upon all of their gods. And there are many people that have interpreted that, you know, the Egyptians worship nearly everything. And he took the very things that the Egyptians were worshiping, frogs. They worship frogs. And he sent a plague of frogs among them. They worship locusts. He sent locusts among them. They worship lice. He sent lice among them. He did everything. He did it in a way that literally devastated that nation. And of course, it brought deliverance to his people, but it also, for anybody who would listen, it showed them that the gods of Egypt were not the true gods, that the God of Israel was the true God, and it was a powerful testimony. That was God's plan. That was God's way. Moses just totally ignored this. Unless we get too hard on Moses, let me just say that we still do the same thing today. We see somebody like, for instance, a sports figure, somebody who's in entertainment or something like this, they get born again, confess Jesus. And the scripture tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, not to put a novice, that means a person who has newly come to the faith, into a position of leadership. Now that's just as clear as you can make it. And yet we disregard that all of the time thinking, but oh man, this person, you know, they've got so many people know who they are. Let's capitalize on their name. Let's use this attention and we can use this to spread the gospel. And we just totally disregard God's leadership in the Word of God. And we exchange that for our own wisdom and think we're better off to do this. And yet it runs into problems every time. You know, I remember when Larry Flint, the guy who's the publisher of Hustler magazine. Some of you may not remember this, but he was supposed to have become a Christian. He converted and he made the rounds on all of the Christian talk shows and became a spokesman for Christianity. And whether he was truly born again and fell away from it or whether he never was truly born again, it's not my place to judge him. I don't know, but I'm saying this, that you know what? There was a lot of Christian ministries with egg on their face when he went back and began to start doing everything he could to slander and come against Christianity. And I could repeat that story 100 times over. That's exactly the same principles that Moses was using. Moses, if he knew that God had a different way of doing it, if he knew that God had a different timetable for bringing deliverance than what Moses was thinking, if he knew those things, he just rationalized it thinking, I need to strike while the iron's hot. I need to use this position. He was using nothing but human logic. But you know what? It was all wrong. And it cost the lives of people that God didn't will to happen. It cost Moses 40 years in the wilderness. It cost the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage. It caused grief and sorrow. And ultimately, Moses not being able to go into the promised land was directly related to this exact same thing. It cost Moses seeing the total fulfillment of what God had put in his heart. All because he didn't wait on God's plan and God's timing. We're out of time today, but on our program tomorrow, we're going to continue to talk about this, so join me again tomorrow.
Andrew's teaching titled, God's Man, Plan, and Timing is available on a single CD for a gift of any amount. Request item number TU5 when you contact us. This teaching is also available for download absolutely free on our website. go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. There, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll discover a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. There are over 500 teachings at your fingertips and more than 10 years of TV broadcast you can view right there on the web. There's also over 12 years of radio programs available for download as MP3 or for you to listen to online. Again, it's free as you navigate through the pages of awmi.net. If you prefer, you can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can write to us. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th, and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
God's plans and purposes for you are nothing but good. If you're struggling and if everything's going wrong in your life, it is either your self-will that got you into that situation, or it is a direct demonic attack of the devil, but it is not God who willed you to suffer. That isn't it. Here was God's plan for Moses. God revealed His will to Moses while Moses was in Pharaoh's palace. And, you know, I can't prove this from Scripture, but you can't disprove it. I believe that it was God's will for Moses to make the changes, to develop the maturity, and if Moses would have submitted himself to God and have just yielded himself, he could have spent those 10 years in the lap of luxury in Pharaoh's palace, eating all of the things that were served him, having all of the acclaim of people. He did not have to go through the desert.